Hello, and welcome back to the 5 Minute Philosophy Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about naturalism, which is the idea, I suppose it's an ontological idea because it deals with being and existence, which states that only the natural world exists and nothing more. Hence naturalism, I suppose. This is opposed to any supernatural existence, for example. And this natural world, it says, can be wholly discovered through the scientific method. So, all knowledge is, in theory, open to human understanding. I say in theory because, obviously, this doesn't mean that we know everything right now, but that we technically could, at some point, know everything that there is to know about the world. Carl Sagan actually sums it up very concisely, describing naturalism as the belief that the cosmos is all that is or ever was or ever will be. But Timothy Williamson actually brings up a really good point. What is the natural world? Where do we draw the line between natural and supernatural or spiritual existence? If we say that the natural world is just the world of matter, that's kind of been disproven by physics. I mean, technically a vacuum, not like a vacuum cleaner, I think you know what I mean, doesn't exist because it's literally the absence of matter. And the same, say, with, I don't know, a rainbow, which is just a reflection. Music, which is literally just a form of energy. These all exist, but not as matter. So, even maths, I guess, like, what kind of existence does that have? So, maybe we can't describe the natural world as the world of matter. So how about, I don't know, describing the natural world as what we can discover through the scientific method? So through biology, physics, chemistry, does this work? That would include all of the non-matter discovered by physics, I don't know, like music and rainbows. Happy Pride Month. But hang on a sec. If we're defining naturalism as the belief that only the thing that only exists is what can be discovered through the scientific method, how we justify this definition? Timothy Williams writes, "Thus naturalism becomes the belief that there is only whatever the scientific method eventually discovers, and, not surprisingly, the best way to find out about it is by the scientific method." So, if you get what I'm trying to say, it justifies itself through its own standards, if that makes sense. So, that's one issue with naturalism, what we actually take to be the natural world, which I guess is more complicated than it seems to be on the surface. A little side note about something called the causal closure principle, which arises from a naturalistic view of causation. So this is the idea that causation, so cause and effect, can only take place between physical matter, since there is only enough energy present in the universe to animate, if that's the right word, the amount of matter that there is. And of course, we all know that energy cannot be created or destroyed. So this would prevent any sort of relation between the physical and the metaphysical or spiritual, because the two realms literally can't relate to each other causally. So this can be used as an objection to body and soul dualism, especially Descartes, which states that the body and the soul are separate substances, physical and spiritual, respectively, but still interact. So naturalism would already reject this because of its spiritual aspect, but this causal closure principle gives this rejection a bit of spice, if you will. But anyway, going back, moving on now to how this belief has influenced other areas of philosophy, as its popularity has increased over the past century or so, with the increase of like scientific knowledge, I guess. So firstly, it's obviously become linked to epistemology, the study of knowledge, because as well as dealing with existence, it also deals with our knowledge of that existence and how we achieve this knowledge through the scientific method, as I mentioned earlier. In addition to this, it's also given rise to a form of ethical naturalism. So this treats ethical facts as facts of nature. So, for example, the good, with a capital G, is a natural quality, like pleasure. This is kind of similar to hedonism and also has obvious links to our favourite utilitarianism. So linking naturalism with discussions of value is actually quite interesting. So we might value friendship, love, so on. But according to naturalism, everything exists is comprised of just physical processes. So, is this somehow reductive? So by this I mean, can we / should we reduce things like friendship and love to the physical or to chemical reactions in our brains? Do we want this? Well, actually, here I'm pretty afraid it doesn't matter if we want this or not. As an ontological statement, if you will, this is either true or not. So love is either wholly physical or natural, or it isn't, no matter how we feel about it. Facts over feelings, guys, come on. So seen like this, some reject naturalism as a threat to sentimentality and spirituality. And just quickly, before we go, does this also mean that naturalism is incompatible with religion? So I suppose in a way, one could see the natural world, like the laws of nature, as extensions of divinity. So for example, Alvin Plantinga considers evolution, a natural process, to be led by God. But he also rejects naturalism, so I guess he couldn't count as a good example of the compatibility of the two. I guess you can have religious naturalism, but it's not very orthodox. It basically sees God in nature or God as nature, kind of like Spinoza's pantheism that I spoke of a couple weeks ago. And natural theology also states that God can be known through the natural world, kind of like revelation through nature, maybe. Who knows? So I suppose that is the pathway to figuring out how to unite naturalism and religion, if you were wanting to do that. So that is all. I hope you enjoyed, maybe learned something new. This has been quite a long episode, but you know, treat yourself to 7-minute philosophy. I hope you have a good week, and bye for now.